You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
We're going to talk about business tonight, folks, in the second hour. Hey, Eddie the Bombardier Miller is coming up in the third hour. Eddie has been the recipient of some unfortunate death threats. And we're going to talk about that during the third hour. So the rest of the show, as if every hour of every show is not interesting, I can promise you we've got some stuff that you need to hear moving forward tonight. This hour we're going to talk business a little bit later. And then we're going to talk about the experience that Eddie and I had with the police over the course of the last few days. It's something, listen, if our report to you in the third hour doesn't convince you, and I know this is the political cesspool audience here, so I'm probably preaching to the choir, but if you don't have a gun, by the time me and Eddie get done with you in the third hour, you'll be racing to get it. But first, welcome back to the show. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, it's been a good hour. The first hour, I think, as they all are. I'm biased. But it is the political cesspool, and that's where we are tonight, and we're going to get back to it right now here on the Liberty News Radio Network. We were building up to it, I guess, seemingly the entire first hour. The 50th anniversary of Michael King's I Have a Dream speech. Keith, we beat around the bush for quite a while. I couldn't bring myself to watch any of the coverage of it. What did you see? What did you witness? What did you gather?
First of all, the national media is desperately trying to fan the dying embers of the civil rights movement yet again, trying to convince people that liberals really are righteous dudes because they can even get so-called conservatives like Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh to say that Martin Luther King was this wonderful exemplar of a human being, and that the civil rights movement that he is the poster child for is somehow, you know, the one indisputably righteous thing that has occurred in America since America's founding. Everything else is flawed. Every other leader has feet of clay. Only Martin Luther King, like Jesus Christ, has a national holiday named after him, so consequently he must be on a par with Jesus Christ. They keep trying to ram that down our throats when anybody with any sense and any sense of historical perspective and anyone who can navigate the internet will surely find out that Martin Luther King was the most flawed of individuals. He was anything but a paragon. Moral paragons don't have to have their FBI files sealed for 50 years. Basically, Martin Luther King was a communist operative. He got all of his money from a person named Stanley Levison, a New York Jewish communist, who was the bagman for the Soviet communists. He was the funnel to whom they sent all of their money, and he was given total discretion to spend this in any way that he thought would best advance the revolution and communism and Marxism in America. And he decided early on that Martin Luther King was the best use of the scarce resources that were being given to him by the Soviets. So he basically bankrolled Martin Luther King. Without this bankrolling, Martin Luther King would quickly have abandoned the civil rights movement and gone back to doing what black preachers have always done, which is preying upon his flock financially and preying upon the women in his flock sexually. He was a serial adulterer nonetheless. Coretta King, his wife, remained silent about this because she liked the money that he was getting in this gig and she didn't want to upset the apple cart. But his closest personal friend, the Reverend Ralph Abernathy, who took over the leadership of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Martin Luther King's organization, after King's death, wrote in his biography, And the Walls Came Tumbling Down, about all of these adulterous affairs that Martin Luther King had. Martin Luther King was not only a serial adulterer, he was a serial philanderer, he was a physical and sexual abuser of women. The night before he was assassinated, he had two prostitutes in his room at the Lorraine Motel, and he beat up at least one of them, maybe both of them. On the night that he gave his received his Nobel Peace Prize in Stockholm, Sweden, he was caught by FBI agents chasing a white prostitute down the hall. He was naked. He was hollering out, "I'm effing for Jesus, and I'm going to be a white man tonight." Okay, this is the person that we have exalted above all others. This is the person that Kathleen Parker, the noted columnist, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, all of these people think that he is just the finest individual to ever grace the human stage or human affairs in the past 300 years. Now, why do they keep doing this? They do it because they want to use the civil rights movement as the template for liberal change. And whenever the left gets in trouble and encounters massive public skepticism about the bona fides of any of their proposed changes, like gay marriage, for example, like global warming, for example, like homosexual rights, like radical feminism, like the drug culture, like the sexual revolution, what do they always predictably do? Hollywood churns out yet another reminiscence of the bad old days in the segregated South, like the movie last summer, The Help, or the movie before that, Mississippi Burning, or the movie before that, A Time to Kill. Totally fictional, totally wrong in all of its facts, but nonetheless, it's more real to the nincompoops that attend Hollywood movies today than the world that exists outside their front door. The people in Hollywood, our media elites, do this because they want people to remember the wonderful days when liberals were the good guys. They wore the white hats. They came to the rescue of America. And we are all so indebted to liberals that we should now turn off our common sense button and we should listen to what they say and learn from the maestros, because of we need to understand they are the wise ones, because they were the ones that supported the civil rights movement. Conservatives were the bad ones because they opposed the civil rights movement. Now, what do we say here at the Political Cesspool about all of that? We say, like the Bible, do not be deceived, ye shall know them by their fruits. Can a good tree bring forth good fruit? Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Well, look what happened to public education as a result of school integration, racial integration. Was that good fruit or corrupt fruit, folks? Everything else that was done under the flag of the civil rights movement, likewise, is corrupt fruit. So consequently, we think it was a corrupt movement. Period. End of diatribe. Turning it back over to you after a few words from our sponsor.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. ABC has named its first person of color bachelor. And back at the studio, we're going to fire up that first clip here in just a second. You know, the Bachelor series, which is the wildly popular ABC show, the reality show, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, they came under fire here in the last couple of years for never having featured a black bachelor or a black bachelorette. So they announced here recently that a 32-year-old male will become their first non-Caucasian bachelor in franchise history. The only thing about this guy is, this first non-Caucasian bachelor, is that he has blonde hair and blue eyes. We have a picture of him at thepoliticalcesspool.org. His name is Juan Pablo Galavis, and he is from Venezuela. Well, you know, you do have blonde hair, blue-eyed white people from Venezuela, but apparently Hispanics can be, as Ramsey Paul described them as, transgendered when it comes to race. They can be black or white depending on whether or not they're good or bad. George Zimmerman was construed as bad, so therefore he was a white guy. This guy, despite his blonde hair and blue eyes and several shades whiter skin than I have, he's non-white because he is good. Let's go to Ramsey Paul broke this story down better than I ever could. We're going to go to that first clip right now.
Hey guys, exciting news. The hit ABC TV show called The Bachelor. And if you guys have never seen it, The Bachelor is they get some handsome, wealthy guy, and there's like 20 girls, and they all try to win his affection, and then he proposes to one of them, and they all cry, and they get engaged. Of course, they rarely get married. They usually break up after the show's over. Because just because the guy's handsome doesn't mean he's retarded. But anyway, there's been a huge controversy because all the bachelors have been white. Well, no more. ABC has just announced their first non-white contestant for The Bachelor. And I'll link to the story in the video. And here's a picture of him. So here's the first non-white. Wait, stop. That's an error. ABC did not hire the Hurricane Katrina looter. They want guys that have money, gold. that guy, he has Heinekens, he may get some women, but they have, this is who they pick for The Bachelor. His name is Juan Pablo, the first non-white. I think the first thing that I noticed is Juan Pablo is one of those rare people of color that has blue eyes and blonde hair. I mean, it looks like he could be the love child between David Duke and Rommel. And that's because Juan Pablo is Hispanic. And Hispanics are kind of like the transgenders of race. They can just kind of come and go depending on the circumstances. Remember George Zimmerman? Take a look at George Zimmerman. According to ABC, George Zimmerman is a white. Juan Pablo, non-white. And I think this is what they mean when the left says that race is a social construct. And this is proof, right? Because if you're Hispanic, it depends what you do that determines your race. For example, if you do something bad like kill someone, or they think is bad like George Zimmerman, kill a youth, then you become white racially. But if you do something good, like you're on a TV show and you're the dreamboat and you're handsome, then you're Hispanic, you're non-white. All right, so based on that, I have done some soul searching and I've determined it's time for me to come out of the closet. No, not as a cisgender, I've already did that. I'm coming out as a non-white white. I'm pretty much Hispanic, I believe. All the signs were there. I love Mexican food. I love margaritas. You should see me drink them. I can roll my R's. I love it. I love the whole thing. So as of now, I am a person of color. Finally. Although I always thought white's a color, but it's not. Now though, I am a person of color and I expected to be treated as such.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. It just goes to show that race truly is a social construct, because you can have a white guy with blonde hair and blue eyes be construed as non-white by the mainstream media, if it serves their purposes, of course. Then you can have a non-white like George Zimmerman, and God bless him. But he is a white guy because it fits the script for him to be so. Barack Obama, he's black, even though he has a white mother and a black father. He's black. The guy who killed, or who helped kill Christopher Lane, even though he has a white mother and a black father, he's white. So it just goes to show, you never know, because race is a social construct, and it really is in the eye of the beholder, and it really does go according to script. Now, I am white because I am a racist, and I know I'm a racist because so many people have called me that over the years. It just must be true. But it's not because of the color of my skin, though. It's because of what I do and how I think. If I was, anyway, you get what I'm getting at, right, folks? Well, let's go to Jeff in New Jersey, who has called in and been waiting patiently. Jeff, what can we do for you tonight on the political cesspool?
Hi, James. I just got a couple of comments I'd like to make.
Sure.
A longtime listener and supporter of the show.
Thank you.
And first of all, I'd like to thank Keith for his commentary on Martin King, you know, for showing him that, for the wicked person he really was. And I want to thank you guys for pointing out that the Jews are the cause of all the troubles in this country. Because I'm going to tell you something. I live here in New Jersey, and I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood, and I went through hell with these people. And now I'm living up in the hills of New Jersey, and people have no idea what I'm talking about when I talk about, you know, they've never even met a Jew up here. And I'm just surprised that people in the South, where I know there's not a lot of Jews down there, I'm surprised you guys know that you really hit the nail on the head with them, because I just want people from the South to realize that you guys are not making this stuff up, because I've had to deal with this firsthand with these people. Secular Jews, Orthodox Jews, it doesn't matter. They hate Gentiles, and they hate Jesus Christ. And everything Brother Nathaniel says about them is exactly true. And people got to realize that they don't go by the Old Testament. They go by the Talmud, which came out of Babylon.
Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for the call, and I appreciate you making those points. Certainly, Some of what you hit on is true. I wouldn't say that the Jews totally destroyed America, because it took a lot of white Christian apathy for it to come to fruition as well. However, as Keith often mentions, 4 out of 5 Jews are radically liberal, and their mindset has been forced upon us. Their disproportionate amount of power and control cannot be refuted. And so we talk about that. We talk about it openly and honestly here on this radio show. It doesn't necessarily make us popular in our churches or with most Southern churches here, but it is the truth, and we tell the truth in love here. And that being said, you mentioned Brother Nathaniel, who is a Reformed Jew who is doing great work, and we do have Jewish listeners who make up part of our audience, and I would like to thank both of them for tuning in tonight. But in all seriousness, there are some, and for those people of Jewish descent who are out there who are fighting with us, we welcome them as brothers in arms, and we thank them for being honest enough to rise above their race and what's expected of them and join us in this struggle. And there's not many of them. Most of them are unfortunately working against Christ and against the best interests of this country, and we will name them and shame them on this show for as long as we have the power and authority to do so, and as long as the forum is given to us. But we will do it open-mindedly and rationally, and everyone should do the same. But Jeff, you are right on target, and thank you for your call. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Across the land, you're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, one quick final point before I toss it back over to Keith, and he'll be leaving us after this segment. We got Eddie the Bombardier Miller coming in at the top of the third hour, but before we get to any of that, in the third hour, I've still got some business to talk with you before this hour concludes. But I want to make a follow-up point to the caller, Jeff, who is right. You know, when it comes to the culture war, when it comes to the war against Christmas and the perversion that's coming out of Hollywood, almost invariably, you will find a Jewish common denominator. But that is not to say that your next-door neighbor, who may be Jewish, the guy laying his sod, is an enemy. Or that a teacher at your school who just happens to be Jewish is an enemy. The people with power and influence that have risen to the cream of the crop, that are forcing multiculturalism and cultural Marxism down our throats, they are a problem. That's not to say that every Jew necessarily believes like them. Yes, 4 out of 5 voted for Obama, so on and so forth. We've had a variety of Jewish guests on this program as well. And of course, I'm not offering apologies for them. I mean, it is what it is. But that's not to say, and we want to be clear, that they are all alike, because they're not all alike, just like all white people, unfortunately, don't believe like me and Keith. If they did, we'd be a lot further along down the road to recovery here and reclaiming America's destiny. Keith, we got one more fleeting segment with you, and I want to take full advantage of that, and then I got some things to share with the audience in the final segment of this hour before we get to the Bombardier. Eddie.
Well, I'm going to go back behind enemy lines. I happened to get a copy of yesterday's Communist Appeal, also known as the Commercial Appeal, our local fish wrap in Memphis. And it never fails to, satisfy our curiosity about what the left is up to. They just can't hide their leftist bias. For example, I'm going to tell you about two articles that were in the business section of one edition of the Commercial Appeal, the Friday, August 30th, 2013 edition. The lead article is Electrolux Exceeds Minority Contracting. Company also spent $93.2 million building a new plant to hire 1,200. Here's a story by Thomas Bailey. The final numbers are in. Electrolux spent $93.2 million building its plant in Memphis, with 29.7% going to minority and women-owned businesses. That nearly doubles Electrolux's initial goal of spending at least 15% of the construction funds with minority firms. Electrolux is a Swiss appliance manufacturer lured to Memphis with a hefty incentive package after it promised to create 1,200 jobs and put up one of the largest new factories in the region. They came from Canada, by the way, from Quebec down to Memphis. In a metropolitan area struggling with a slow economy, government officials in particular pressed the company to make sure it provided work for hungry local firms, i.e. black firms. With the numbers now in from consultant Allen and Hoshall, officials lauded the effort. Some good news, Reed Dullberger, doesn't sound black to me, president of the Edge Economic Development Agency, said in an email this week to his board, staff, and attorneys. Attached is the final report from Allen and Hoshall on MWBE, Minority in Black and Women Business Enterprises, participation in the construction of the Electrolux facility. According to the data, 29.65% of the $93.2 million spent went to MWBs, a total of $27.6 million. That's an outstanding accomplishment for our community. Then there is another article right after that, entitled Industry Titans, and it's got a picture of J.R. Pitt Hyde, the CEO of AutoZone. And he says, here's what it says. Those of us who have been blessed with some level of success owe it to our entire community to serve as mentors and give back to build a stronger Memphis. In other words, mentor blacks and try to make sure that the reins of wealth in Memphis get turned over to them and not to white people. White people are the new pariahs. And it says, Economic Development Forum focuses on minority entrepreneurship. Then in the middle of the news of the business section, you have another pair of articles. Merrill Lynch agrees to make changes in racial bias lawsuit, and U.S. Bank's legal tab tops $100 billion in wake of financial crisis cleanup. This was the minority mortgage meltdown business of some years ago. Now, what does all this tell you? It tells you that if you're a businessman in Memphis, it doesn't matter whether you make jobs, whether you make a profit for your company. What matters is that you're busy trying to promote the interests of blacks over others, specifically and particularly white people. This is the way you get recognition in the local fish wrap in Memphis, by being a race traitor, essentially. And all of these people know this, and they vie for this. Meanwhile, what happens to young white people who don't come from privileged backgrounds, who are trying to climb the economic ladder? Well, basically, they get kicked down the ladder by these very self-same industry titans, quote-unquote, as it says in one of these articles, who are busily trying to promote the interests of black people over their own kind. Black people have a word for these type of people. They call them race traitors. They would never tolerate political or business leaders in their community that behave like white business leaders and black politicians behave to their own power base, to the people that vote for them. They would vote any black race traitors out of office in a thrice, and furthermore, they would use all of their interests to go after any black businessman that dared to suggest that black people shouldn't be promoted over white people. This shows you what is happening in America and what will continue to happen with more frequency in America until whites become a minority in our own nation. We have a traitorous elite, both globally, nationally, and alas, locally here in Memphis. In any type of community where there are a large number of black people, white people at the top have decided that they can buy peace with the black masses by kicking white people who are lower on the totem pole from them under the bus. Remember that when you start thinking about who you spend your money with. Would I spend any money with Pitt Hyde and AutoZone? Not only no, but hell no. Would I go to Duncan Williams, another one of the industry titans who is mentioned? He has a financial consultant firm. Not only no, but hell no. Would I spend any money with Kemmons Wilson Jr., one of the children of the founder of Holiday Inns? Not only no, but hell no. I am not going to promote the interests of somebody who is intent upon kicking me and my children and my grandchildren under the bus. These people should be social pariahs. White people generally need to stop biting their tongues about this. They need to do something about these people. Then there's another article in the same edition in the local section of the Commercial Appeal. Fast food protest. Apparently, the majority black workforce at the local McDonald's restaurants in Memphis have decided they think that their salaries ought to be doubled from $7.50 an hour to $15 an hour. And they're out protesting and picketing McDonald's to make this happen. They think there's some talismanic magic in picketing, and they think that's why they won the civil rights movement. It had nothing to do, apparently, with Jewish power and influence or media control or any of those things. It had to do with black people getting together, locking their arms, swinging back and forth, and singing spirituals, and the walls came a-tumbling down. Of course, This is such rich irony because it is the self-same McDonald's restaurants that has their famously touted Black 365 program, in which they say they promote the interests of blacks 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They're busily trying to give black people McDonald's franchises. These franchises mysteriously have always failed in Memphis. I wonder why. They're actually being given these things by McDonald's headquarters, and they can't even keep the gift going, much less build a restaurant from scratch with their own money and make it happen the way that white entrepreneurs do. So what's going on, folks? The same BS, as always, from our elites. We'll be back with more after these words from our sponsor.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, we got one segment remaining before the third hour. We're going to get Eddie in here to talk about some death threats he's received as a result of his work on this show. hey, it happens to the best of us. I remember my first death threat. You know, they tell you growing up, you'll always remember your first. I always thought they were talking about something else. But I guess it is your death threat. Anyway, I got to talk to you folks one-on-one here because it's going to be a very big month. This September, I'm laughing at my own joke now, but this September could be one of the most monumental months in the history of the Political Cesspool radio program, a radio show, of course, that now spans from 2004 to 2013, folks. That's an awful lot of hanging on, in my opinion. You just heard Let's Hang On. We've hung on for a long time. We continue to hang on, not just hang on, but thrive. By many standards of measurement. And I'm excited to report to you that we're riding an incredible wave of momentum. I sent this email out to those of you who are subscribed to our email list, which you can do at thepoliticalcesspool.org if you're not already on it. Just last month, we were picked up by additional radio outlets, I believe, out of Indiana, which further bolsters our presence. In addition to that, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, so many listeners were tuned in online that our website was temporarily shut down due to an overload of traffic. And let me tell you, we pay a lot of money for our servers. It takes a lot of people to bring our website to a crawl. And that happened 3 weeks ago. And as I mentioned, the most incredible thing, though, folks, as we continue to grow, as we continue to expand. And I shared a few details about this with you. I guess it was week before last. But as I mentioned, I was cast by producers to appear in a five-part television series on conservatism and Southern culture. As I said a couple of weeks ago, I'm not at liberty, unfortunately, and I wish I could, because it would blow you away. But I'm not at liberty right now to provide additional details as to what network this will air on. But I can tell you that I will travel in 2 weeks to film my part in this series. It's sort of like a reality show documentary hybrid. It's not going to be a sit-down lit interview. I'm going to be driving around. I'm going to be at different sites doing different activities, talking about race, talking about the South, talking about Southern culture. And this is a big budget project, folks. And the fact that they came to yours truly in the Political Cesspool is a testament to the support that you have shown us throughout the history of our run. This is going to air, as I said, I'm going to travel in a couple of weeks and film my part. This TV show is going to air prime time on national television in January. The producers have told me that the number of viewers is expected to be in the millions. This is the biggest thing that I've ever been a part of, and I've been a part of a lot of things. It's going to make my appearances on CNN pale in comparison to the number of people we're going to be reaching as a result of this new opportunity that has been presented to us. I was selected for this show because the Political Cesspool has established itself as the only mainstream media outlet that dares to discuss racial issues with clarity and candor. Couldn't have done it without you. Couldn't have done it without Liberty News Radio. Thanks to your support, we have a consistent track record, and we've talked about it, of making headlines that spans nearly a decade. We've become well known for what we do, and we now stand poised to reach more people than ever before. Millions of people, folks, and I'm going to hit them right between the eyes, just as we do on this radio show. Listen, what we have been able to build with this radio show is substantial. We reach a lot of people, much more than most. But it's not to say that there aren't some venues bigger than our own, because surely there are. National television's one of them. That's why you contribute to our work. We've proven the ability to reach a massive audience through our own radio program and the other media attention that our work attracts. You trust that we will capably articulate our shared concerns in the court of public opinion. You have faith that we will defend our positions and serve as good spokesmen for our people. Ladies and gentlemen, that faith is well placed. That being said, this is what I'm here to talk to you about. We must continue to raise the funds necessary to keep the Political Cesspool on the air. You don't produce a nationally syndicated radio program for free, unfortunately. And I think that you see the value in contributing to our work and how important it is that we be able to keep the needle moving forward. To be clear, I need your help in making this quarterly fundraising drive, which we kicked off on Friday, a success, so that I can focus on the task at hand. I've been presented as a result of the reputation that we've built, which comes solely because of your support. Without your support, folks, we wouldn't have made it 9 months, much less 9 years, much less having built a reputation that warrants the eye of producers who are casting, looking for someone to fill a role to speak about these issues. Well, these are the issues that we've become known for. We don't get here without you. We don't continue without you either. We need your help in making this quarterly fundraising drive a success so that we can focus on the task at hand. Every quarter of every year, we have to bring in enough to the storehouse to sustain us. And it seems as though every quarter we fight, we claw, we struggle to make it. And at the end of the day, for 9 years, every quarter, that's nearly, I guess, 40 fundraisers. From day one, we do quarterly fundraising drives. I guess that's nearly 40 times we've done this now after nearly 10 years. You've always been there for us. But folks, it's always gut-wrenching. It's a white-knuckle experience, let me tell you. I have got to prepare for this, our biggest opportunity to date, to reach millions of viewers on a national television show, prime time, that millions of people will see. I need to be preparing for that and not worrying whether or not this fundraising drive is going to be successful. I'm not talking down to you, folks. I'm talking to you man to man. This is what we need. This is why we need it. So I'm asking for your support. In terms of what we're able to accomplish, I think the political cesspool offers a significant return on your investment. We also have some pretty fantastic gift packages. We ask that you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight and contribute. Those of you who are on our snail mail list, you're going to get a letter to the effect of that, which I just shared with you here in the next week. A percentage of everything we take in will kick back to the network that makes our show possible. Folks, we're all in this together. It's a big, big opportunity. You know, sometimes I feel as though I'm Frodo, and I'm trying to take that ring back to Mount Doom, although Frodo's journey sometimes pales in comparison to the snares and pitfalls of being a host of this show. I mean, I'm a bigger racist than the James Edwards that killed a man just because of his skin color. We take a lot of arrows. We take a lot of spears. Let's play that second clip right now. Let's see if this motivates you. I feel like this guy sometimes. We're going to get to it right now, folks. I don't want to go corny on you, but this is what it's about sometimes, as far as I'm concerned. This work on the radio, this is how real it is.
I see in your eyes the same fear that would take the heart of me. A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship. But it is not this day. An hour of walls and shattered shields when the age of men comes crashing down. But it is not this day. This day we fight. By all that you hold dear on this good earth, I bid you stand, men of the West!
There will come a day when the political cesspool is no more. I hope it's many, many years into the future. There will come a day when I no longer draw breath, but it is not this day. I am preparing to go forth and appear on a nationally syndicated television program. It's going to be big, folks. We need your help. If you stand with us, let your support be shown. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. Our quarterly fundraising drive will commenced on Friday. A slow start as usual. We always finish strong, and that's what's important. But folks, as I prepare for this, I really don't want to worry about whether or not it's going to be a strong month for us. Let's just get it done now so we can move forward and go out and take advantage of an opportunity that's been presented to us, the likes of which that most people in this movement, most leaders, are never in the position to realize. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Those of you who donate $100 or more before September 30th, and to be sure, this fundraiser runs between now and September 30th. We're going to give you the best of my interviews and commentary on the political cesspool. The last couple of fundraising drives, we've offered you Bill Rowland and Keith Alexander's best ofs, respectively. I'm going to give you, those of you who donate $100 or more between now and September 30th, the top 10 shows, in my opinion, that the political cesspool has ever produced that I've been involved with. And in addition to that, I'm going to give you each of Pat Buchanan's appearances on this show, all three of them. So you're going to get 13 shows in total that I have deemed and handpicked as the best of in the history of the show, and a couple of other incentives as well. We want your support. We need it. We think we deserve it, folks. We stand on the cusp of doing something great. And in January, millions of people who have never before heard of our show will know of it and will come to learn more. This is why we do what we do. Please support us, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're going to get back to politics and news in the third hour. Stay tuned.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.